Ooh.
But
Yeah, he was out of work when I went back. I went back to work before she was 6 weeks old, and I had a problem because I had postpartum bleeding. But it went away without me having to go to the doctor. And his mother, she was a bitch. And I had gotten somebody to keep Janice, but he said, well, his mother could keep it. I said, well, okay, I'll pay her the same thing.
She was living up here?
Yeah, she had moved in with us one time, and oh boy, she was real Southern, you know. Yeah, and she didn't, she had three sons, and she didn't like nobody. Nobody. She didn't, the oldest son had been married. I mean, he's still with his first wife. She didn't like nobody. She wanted her sons to herself. So she couldn't stand me, but she kept the baby. Now, I'd have to make the formula. I'd set the food out. I had to wash. When I come home, I had to cook. I had to do everything. All she did was sit. She changed the diaper, and she'd feed and give them the formula. So one day I thought, I had a washing machine, automatic washing machine, and I thought, well, now surely she'll wash. So I deliberately let the diapers, pile up where she didn't have any more. She washed two diapers and told me, the baby don't have no more diapers. And I'd come home from, he'd pick me up from work. Now, she lived quite a distance. So he'd pick her up in the morning and bring her. Then he'd take her home at night and he'd come back. I'm paying for the gas and everything. At the end of the month, she wanted as much as I was going to pay a babysitter for doing everything. And I told her, well, I thought it was only worth so much, and so I gave her so much. So she never called me by my name. She called me the girl. And she told him when he was taking her home, she said, tell the girl I can't keep the baby no more. Just like it wasn't a grandchild.
Uh-huh.
And she never recognized them when they were babies. But when they got grown, she was always wanting some of them to come over and do something for her.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice... you mentioned that she was Southern, and are people that you know from the South? And I was kind of wondering what that entailed.
Well, she talked, you know, like, I was brought up to speak good English,
uh-huh.
You know, and that's one thing people used to say about Richard. Oh, he speaks so good, he speaks so good, you know, taught my kids speak. I can't get used to Southerners. Particularly black Southerners,
uh-huh.
Dis and dad, and instead of apartment, she'd say department. And he was just this bad, you uh-huh. know, because he had a saying, and my aunt and I would talk, and I'd tell her because I thought it was so funny, the things that he said.
Uh-huh.
And if something, like you'll say, like I'll say, well, what's the matter with you? He said, what's wrong matter with you? And I thought that was so crazy. Oh, he had a lot of little sayings that I got to talking to my aunt so much about, and I found myself saying, I said, let me stop. But she was real Southernish, you know, and she told me that she didn't bathe the baby. That was another thing I had to do when I come home in the evenings. I'd have to bathe her because she said you shouldn't bathe the baby until after 6 months old.
Is it just sort of custom
that she... I guess so. I guess so. I never heard of such a thing. I know my mother had a lot of superstition and everything, but hers took the cake. And then she'd sit there and she'd puff on cigarettes and she'd never open a window. She never took a bath. B.O. And these cigarettes, I'd come home, I'd have to fling open windows, the air out the house and everything, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I was sick of it. So I had already, I figured that she wasn't going to keep the baby because I wasn't satisfied. And it would just make me mad. I'd come home and he's not working and she's sitting there with hands folded. And I said, shoot, this is for the birds. I'm the one that's supposed to be sitting home taking care of my baby. So anyway, I got another lady that would keep keep her and, you know, like do her diapers and feed her and so forth and so on. And the only thing was I was working swing shift. I had gone back to the police department and I was working swing shift. And my husband would go get her and bring her home. And I don't know why, Janice would just cry. And then he called me, I have to leave work and come all the way home to stop her from crying. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, this is after I had had the baby and I had gone back. I was reinstated. But, so that didn't work. So anyway, it wasn't the same. I didn't get back in communications, and so I didn't like back in record section on that shift, so I was going to change. I did change jobs. Then I didn't like that job. And so I had just quit. I was just going to stay at home until, because I, as I say, I was forever taking exams. And sure enough, when I stayed at home, they called me, but that's when I had discovered I was pregnant with Tony. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't bother to go back to work. Mm-hmm.
So you had mentioned that he wasn't with at the time. Did you have control over your own checks and things?
He never knew. I think that's what made him really suspicious. He never, and I can honestly say, in all the time we were together, he never saw one of my checks. Uh-huh. He never had the least idea what they were. Uh-huh. I may have given him a hint, but I never told him, because see, in my family, my mother had always managed the money. My father would bring the money home to her. Manage, and I felt like I was a good enough manager that he should do that. And I thought we had that understanding when we first started living together. Uh-huh. But he just never would bring home all his money. And then at times he wouldn't even bring home enough to cover what you would consider his share.
Uh-huh. Would he bring home like cash?
Yeah, mm-hmm. He'd cash his check. Only time I had to cash it if he wasn't at home, and I had to pick up the check.
So, you controlled part of the finances,
then,
did you?
Yeah, only part of it. And then, like I say, the times that I would have the poker games and I would make money, well, then he would give me even less. Uh-huh. And then just before the divorce, he was, like, giving me $30 a week. And after the divorce, he was giving me $35 and $40 a week for child support. Uh-huh. So that's the reason I told him I didn't need him. Sometime during the period, he was giving his mother money. But like I told her, I said, your mother can get on aid or something like that. You know, you've got kids here. You can't support your mother and us too, you know. And don't depend on me. Like, I would pay the main bills. I wouldn't pay lights or gas. And we had our gas and lights shut off quite often too, because he thought I was bluffing. But I knew he wouldn't pay the telephone bill, and I like to talk on the phone. And I'd pay the rent for a roof overhead. And then the next thing you know, every time I go to work, next thing you know, I'm paying all the bills. Mm-hmm. The more money I make. And I was doing extra work at home. I was doing typing at home. I never would tell him about those checks. I'd go and put those in the bank. And then, because he had said one time, he liked cars. He was fanatic about cars. And wanted a new car. And I said, well, hey, we can buy a new car. I said, but we both got to pitch in, you know. So for 2 weeks, he did. He brought his check home. And then no more. So what I was doing this typing at home. Like, he'd take me to deliver some typing, and like, it'd be a check for $25. I said, mine. And I said, all that work, and all I got was $12. Whatever it was, I'd call off half of it, and then I'd go put it in the bank. And then, you know, it went on. He never did, you know, try to work toward a car. Uh-huh. So finally, I decided I was going to buy a new car, and I bought it in my name. And he was surprised, you know, when I came up with the money. So that only made him even more suspicious. The marriage really was on the rocks then. And then he had a key to it. I had to go in the hospital one time, so he drove the car. And when I came home, some friend had come over. He jumps in the car, you know, going to show off. And somebody backed into it. Well, it didn't do any damage, but that was an excuse for me to take my key. So So when we divorced, the car was still fairly new. And so he said, well, I hope you lose it. And I said, yeah, same to you, kiddo.
When did you go back to work?
Well, Carol was 6 months old when I went back to work. And I quit off and on and stay at home, you know, as long as I could. And then I'd go back to work. But I liked staying home with them. And then he was so wishy-washy, you know, like kids. Kids have a way when they don't want to get up. My stomach hurts. My head hurts. Well, as a mother, you can soon determine whether it's for real or not. Every time they said that, which was like every other morning, well, stay home, stay home. I said, hey, I can't work and stay home too, you know, make up your mind. Because after all, they want me on the job, and the job calls for 5 days a week. The kids went to nursery school. It was really tiring on them, so that's the reason ever so often I would quit. Even after I divorced him, I'd take time off. You know, one time I'd worked two jobs, so I took off one summer, and I stayed off that summer. And then when the kids went back to school in September, I worked just during the hours they were in school so that I could drop them off at school at a normal hour. And then when they run out of school, I was sitting there waiting for them. And, that was like 6 months, 3 months at home with them entirely, and then 3 months, you know, working the hours that they were in school.
Did you keep going back to
school
to
come to you? No. I skipped around. I went back to work for the county when Carol was 6 months. I worked for the county for about 2 years. Then I had worked for the, let's see, after the county, I quit. And where did I go then? I think I went to work for the state. I worked for the state off and on for about 5 years. I was working for the state, I think, when I divorced him. And,
What office did you do?
Department of Social Services.
Uh-huh.
And then I did. And then I stayed there until I bought the house that was to be our home. And I quit there in order to get the retirement, and I got this house, and when I moved in, I had 50 cents to my name. But it was a house. Me and the kids finally had a house, you know, and I really fixed it up real nice, you know. It was an old house, but I fixed it up real nice, and we lived there 10 years, you know, until the kids just about got grown. And he was quite peeved, you know. He wanted something drastic to happen to me, you know, where I would meet him. But it didn't. I mean, you know, I moved up. So after we moved there, I got a job at private industry. I worked for this construction company. And then after that, I went to work for Selective Service for the government. And while I was working there, I married a second time to an alcoholic. Boy, I really got the creeps.
So the first time you married, from about 1946 to about 1950 is when you got married. Oh,
uh-huh.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
I'm mixing up with the job years.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So 59 or somewhere around there?
Somewhere around there.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
And then how long was it between your second marriage?
Well, let's see, we stayed in the apartment 2 years, about 3 years.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And I hadn't planned to marry again. But this was a guy I had met at a party when my husband and I were still together. Uh-huh. But it was never anything intimate. I'd see the guy, maybe once or twice a year. And we'd go out and we'd have a lot of fun because he liked to go out. And we'd have a lot of fun. And then I saw him when my husband and I were separated temporarily, I saw him. And like I said, it still wasn't anything intimate. And then I had moved out to this house, and this was another girlfriend of mine.
Where
is the house? On 115th Street.
So
it was a large place. You know, like those old houses, the rooms are so large and everything, you know. And like I said, I really fixed it up. But he came out there one night. I was working at this construction company. And so, you know, we got to seeing each other, and he moved in. We lived together for about a year. He kept talking about marriage. I really wasn't interested in marriage, but he kept talking about it. And then he came up with this statement that, well, you know, one day your kids are going to be gone, and you're going to be left by yourself. And I got to thinking about that, and I said, well, he was a very intelligent person, but alcohol was his downfall. And he was always talking about, he was about 6 years younger than I was, and he was always talking about, I don't want you to work. Well, naturally, I like to hear that, you know. I'm going to, Benny Knott. And, he was going to take up air conditioning and refrigeration, and he was going to do wonders, and he was just going to sit me down and just give me the world.
Uh-huh.
Never stayed sober long enough.
Was he working?
He was working when I met him, and then he was kind of working off and on. I should have noted the pattern during the year we were living together.
Uh-huh.
But then he started working for the county, and I started working for the county.
Uh-huh.
And, no, I was working for Selective Service. That was it, for the government.
Uh-huh.
And he kept on talking about quitting work. So finally, I just quit and said, well, I'm going to see what he can do. And he quit, too. Wherever he was working. So when we both went back to work, this was in 64, I went to work for the county again and air pollution control. And shortly after that, he went to work when they first opened up the music center. He went to work there as a custodian. And I think he was there about 2 years, but he goofed up. So, you know, go to work drunk. And after about 2 years, I said, I've had enough. You know, I came home one Friday and I looked at him, you know, and I said, I want a divorce. He says, well, get it. Just like that. Uh-huh, very casual. So I got a divorce, and I mean, I was seeing him for a while after we divorced, but then finally I just, you know, broke loose and it wasn't too long. Well, this was over a period of time. And I think the last I saw him was just before I moved. I had sold my place, and I had bought another old place in Compton. And so that was the last I saw him. He tried calling, you know, but I think his mind was beginning to deteriorate then, behind all that drinking.
Mm-hmm. Did you stay connected with your family, with your parents at all? Did you see much of them, your father?
I moved my father in with me. Now, when I moved on 115th, when I bought the house, my father was buying the house next door.
Mm-hmm.
He had had it for quite some time. And so, I guess maybe a year after I was there, he sold the place. And he got cash money for his equity. And so he kind of lived it up. And this was when Benny and I were still living together. My father had finally used up all his money. He was down to his Social Security, which was little or nothing. He was living in a little shacky place, and he was unhappy and everything. So I moved him in with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was living with me when I married Benny. And he was very happy. And he stayed with me a year and a half before he died.
Mm-hmm. So, did your aunt, was she still in the house?
Mm-hmm.
You seem quite close to her, your family.
No.
Right?
My mother was, not me.
Not you?
I talked to her today. Boy, she's a pill. But I didn't know it at the time. You know, I tried to get along with it, but little things would happen. Because after my kids, you know, my husband my kid's father was a very good-looking man.
Mm-hmm.
So my kids are very nice-looking kids.
Mm-hmm.
And beautiful long hair, you know, and all that bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so my aunt was jealous.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me a while to realize it. Because, because, you know, I never, things don't bother me, you know. And I know people would say, oh, what beautiful children. Even my oldest son was a pretty child. And people would always compliment the kids and everything. Well, she had a granddaughter that was born in September, the same year that my daughter was born. And she's the kind of person that everything she does is just perfect. Everything her children do are just perfect, which these were not her kids. She adopted the daughter that had the child, but oldest child had to be just so, and she finally just took her away from her daughter and raised her herself, but like closed in with her daughter. She walked her to school when she was going to junior high. You know, walked her to school and then picked her, so overprotective, you know. And then she didn't allow them to really associate us because we were bang, 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 you know, we were all carefree and everything. You know, it's one thing mother let us, she trusted us, and we kept up her trust, you know. She let us do things like my oldest brother wanted to take it. He was the same age as my aunt's daughter. He wanted to take her to the skating rink. Oh, no. It was just like a strange boy to ask her. Well, actually, he was a strange boy because he was no relation.
Mm-hmm.
But she wouldn't let her go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she would, and like the little girl was sneaky. She'd come over and she'd want to pinch me. And I remember one day she came over. I was about 20. I don't know how old she was. But she came over, she'd look at her mother, and then all of a sudden she'd take and pinch me. And I took and twisted her arm around her back. I said, look, I said, don't you know I'm grown? I said, don't you ever come up and pinch me like that again.
Uh-huh.
And her mother just looked, you know. But she was sneaky, real sneaky. So consequently, well, my kids were going to St. Patrick. Well, that was quite a ways from where I lived, but every Sunday we'd slide up there and end the mass at the last minute, you know. The kids went to school there. And so I tried to get them in a school in a parish where I live, but they only wanted to take two of them. No, they only wanted to take one. And I said, well, I didn't want them separated. And so anyway, after mass on Sundays, I would stop by my aunt's house and we would be talking. Well, this little spoiled grandchild of hers, you know, my aunt believed that you had dolls just to sit. You know, you dress them up and you sit. You don't touch them. You don't play with them. When we were growing up, we combed the doll's hair out.
Uh-huh.
And I know, like, Janine, she got Dancerella or something. And Dancerella's hair is all pulled back in a little net and everything. The next day, Dancerella had her clothes off, and the hair was all down loose, and she was braiding.
Family tradition. Yeah. Got down to the grandchildren.
Yeah. So, every time, Carol was little, and every time we go over there, Carol would want to touch the doll. Well, the next, she's a big horsey. Right now, she's like an Amazon, you know. Lynette was big and hard, and she hit Carol. Well, she hit her so hard, she would cry. So, first couple of Sundays, I didn't say anything. Then I got tired of it. You know, I'm mother hen, you know, don't be beating on my children. So I said, why does Lynette always hit Carol? You know, oh, well, Janice and her hair and blah. I'm talking about Lynette hitting Carol. And she starts talking about my oldest daughter, who had, you know, real long, pretty hair. Oh, she flops in here and probably anybody who's got, like you, what do you do? You take and do it like that,
yeah,
don't you?
Have to.
Yeah. Well,
it's in your mouth.
Yeah, well, Janice always had hers kind of rolled, like, and I imagine maybe she did flip it over her shoulder, you know,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you can't help it. Boy, they got on my case. I didn't speak to her for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been other periods, too, when I haven't spoken to her, but she's a selfish woman, she's a mean woman, and I mean, it just dawned on me oh, I guess about 10 or 15 years ago, just what type personality she was. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to taking psychology, then you know, and I got to understand, and I just like, she called today. I don't call her too often, and if I don't call her, she calls, oh, I thought something was wrong. I said, why would you think anything was wrong? You know, oh, well, I didn't know. I thought something had happened, and your daughters didn't want to call me. So I told my daughters, if anything happened to me, don't tell it. And like last February, now the times I've been in the hospital, she won't come to see me. And, but she'll call up there, you know, well, how are you feeling, and blah, blah, blah. So when I was in the hospital in February, I got out on a Thursday. Well, I think it was that Monday or Tuesday night, that she called, and she said that my cousin's mother had died. And I said, oh, I said, well, let me call her, you know. So then I called her back, you know, and we were talking. I said, oh, you know, she'd been sick and so forth and talking. So somehow in the conversation, I said, yeah, I was in the hospital too. Oh, why didn't you tell me? I said, yeah, I started to ask her what for. You know, because if I tell her I'm sick, well, now, you ought to take this. Now, that's probably so-and-so and so-and-so. So see, what I want to tell her, which I don't, I try to respect her age. I don't want to tell her that I don't tell you everything because you're not my confidant. I don't want it. She's very critical, overly critical, but that's a trait of her sign. She's Scorpio, and Scorpios are very critical. So I want to tell her, I don't want to tell you I'm sick because I don't want to hear your diagnosis and cure. You know, I'd rather go to somebody who's been to school. But no, I thought after my mother died, I thought I could be close to her, and I tried.
Yeah.
But I couldn't get close to her. She's not a person that you can be close to because she's too critical. She's really too critical. Like, she came over one day, and my kids, I had the iron board up, and one of them was trying to iron. You know, she said, oh, she says, they'll hurt themselves. I said, oh, no, they don't. They mess with iron all the time, you know. She says, oh, excuse me. You know, she got offended.
Yeah.